This week is, as I mentioned, Thanksgiving week. This Thursday, as I mentioned, many people will be stuffing in a lot of turkey, a lot of mashed potatoes, and a lot of pumpkin pie, pecan pie, apple pie, blueberry pie, peach cobbler. Just the list goes on and on. French silk pie, one of my favorites. So today I feel that I'm going to be preaching on a very timely topic, a very timely message that will have application to all of our lives. Yes, that topic is weight loss.
Oh, God.
Now, before you get too nervous this morning, I'm not talking about physical weight loss. That will be the sermon for next Sunday after your Thanksgiving feast. No, this message today is about another kind of weight loss. A kind of weight loss that we see discussed in the passage that Brother Delaney read for us this morning. And it really is summed up in this first verse of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see here, the author of the book of Hebrews is writing to a group of Hebrews, to some Jews who have been so consumed with following the Hebrew model, the Judaism model. They are Jews, and they are in their religion Jews. And so they have been evaluating now the claims of Jesus of Nazareth. They have heard the stories of him being raised from the dead. They have been taught in the precepts of Christ and what it is to live by faith, not what it is to follow the works of the law, not to be legalists trying to be justified before God by the good things that they do. No, they've been taught the truth. And now, as they have been living in these Christian communities, they have been feeling a real strain. They have been feeling a real strain as their families, who are still Jews, look at them and say, "Why aren't you still going to our Jewish festivals? Why aren't you still partaking of our Jewish feasts? Why are you leaving behind our Jewish traditions?" And now these people have been feeling this pull, they've been feeling this persecution, they've been feeling this strain, and they're starting to get a little bit weary. Maybe some of them haven't fully come yet and accepted the claims of Christ for themselves, and they're holding back, they're saying, "I can't quite go there yet. That's a little bit too much, I'm not quite ready for that." And so the author of Hebrews puts before them a beautiful picture. He says, "Don't you see? Your life in Jesus Christ, your life of faith is a race. A race." And he says, it's time for some of you to get running. It's time for some of you to go register for that race, go sign up and hit the road and start running toward the prize that's in front of you. And then he says to some other people, he says, not only that, there are some of you that may be in the race right now. You've already signed up. You're already beating the pavement in your Christian life, heading down that path. He says, but there's some problems we got to deal with. He said, because just like you, when a runner runs a race, they're going to try to make sure that there is not a shred of extra weight on them. Not only not a shred of extra weight on their bodies, they're going to be in peak physical condition, but also there's not going to be any extra weight on their clothing, no extra weight in their shoes, no extra weight in a backpack that they'd be wearing. They want to be running as fast as they can in that race that has been put before them. The author of Hebrews says it's the same for your spiritual life. It's time to ditch the weight. It's time to get rid of the sin that's holding you back from running faster toward God. It's time to throw off those heavy boots that are holding you from running as fast as you can on God's path. It's time to lose the weight. You know, that message applies to every single person who's here this morning. There may be some of you here who you've never joined the race of faith. You've never signed up through Jesus Christ to enter that race, and you don't know anything of a race right now because your life is aimless. You're just drifting through life with no purpose, no meaning whatsoever. Today, friend, I'm going to suggest that it's time to sign up on the race of faith. It's time to get on God's path. It's time to join His race. And today, there may be some other people here who are on that race you have signed up. But there's some weight in your life that's holding you back. There's some weights that you're carrying around that are impeding your progress and that are tripping you up and causing you to fall on that track and not be sprinting down that path as fast as you can toward the finish line. I'm going to suggest today, friend, that you ask the Spirit of God to identify where you need some spiritual weight loss. That's the title of our message this morning, and we'll seek the Lord's blessing as we open His Word this morning. First of all, let's talk about the race. The race. Because what this passage makes clear to us is that your life, your Christian life, is a race. Now, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Why? Because it's a race that is from now until the rest of your life. It only ends when you die. That is the finish line. And we are running that race as far as we can and as strong as we can and with as much energy and as much power as we can. First of all, we need to understand the course of this race. The course of this race. I love what the author of Hebrews says here. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, this truth here is that you don't set your own race. It's set before you. Just like a person comes to a track, and if it's an oval track that's going around a football field, say, they don't get to start running that track, and when they get to the end of that oval, they say, you know what, I don't really want to curve around. I'm just going to keep on going straight. All right, see ya. Say, you're off the track. The track has been set before you already. You got to run the race. You got to run the course. And the truth of it that we understand is there's a course that is set before us. God has set before us a race. He has set before us a course. And it's our job to run that race. Now, as I mentioned, the way to get on this course is by signing up, is by registering for the race. If you want to register, if you want to run a marathon, you're not just going to show up at the start line the day of the race and say, okay, I'm ready to run. Where's the start line? They're going to say, where's your runner's name badge? Where's your number? Do you have your number? Have you registered yet? Have you signed up? Oh no, did I need to do that? Yeah. Yeah, you needed to do that. You got to sign up for the race. And it's the same way that for each of us, the moment we started that race was when we trusted in Jesus Christ for eternal life. When we entered into the family of God by faith. This morning, if you're here and you're just wandering aimlessly through life, you know of no race that you're running. It very well may be because you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for eternal life. The truth of the matter is, friend, that you're a sinner. All of us have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And that means that the only path we're on, as Scripture says, is the path to destruction, is the path to eternal destruction in a place called hell. And all of us have been on that path at one time or another because in a very real sense, we were born on that path. That was the race that each one of us were running straight into destruction. But the truth of Scripture is that when God sent in love His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sins, He sent His Son to die so that you would not have to die eternally. He sent His Son to bear the punishment for your sin so that you wouldn't have to be punished eternally. And now we can come in to that fellowship with God. We can become one with God. We can be saved. We can be born again by trusting Him for eternal life, saying, God, I accept your payment on my behalf. I cannot be saved on my own. I do deserve hell, and I want to run your race. I want to go from the broad way. I want to go to the narrow way. I've gone through the broad gate. Now I want to go through the straight gate, and I want to start running your path for my life. That's how you enter that course. That's how you get on God's path for your life. It's a race. There's a course. Secondly, let's understand the challenge. The challenge of this race is exactly what it says. It's not easy. It's difficult. You know, so we have sometimes in our Christian lives today this idea that, hey, let me get saved, let me trust Jesus Christ for eternal life, and then I'm on easy street for the rest of my life. My life is just going to be great from there. I'm going to be walking down life doing whatever I want to do. As that hymn says we just sang before the message, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? Some people to hear might, hey, that sounds good. I'd like to do that, thank you very much. But no, just like a marathon involves grueling difficulties and great, and in some cases, great pain and great suffering. That's the race that is set before us. The author of Hebrews says, let us run with patience. Now that word patience, you might also translate it endurance. You might also translate it perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? There's a difficulty in front of you. There's a challenge in front of you. You say, am I going to let that stop me? No, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to go over it. I'm going to go around it. I'm going to go under it. Whatever that difficulty is. And so it is in our Christian lives. There's a great challenge. There's great difficulty in front of us. Paul said to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, just so you know, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All means all. That means if you want to live godly in this life, if you want to walk God's path, if you want to run His race, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face suffering. You're going to face challenges. You're going to face difficulty. And that's why he says, run with patience, run with endurance, just like a marathon runner is going to get halfway through the race and say, oh, my legs, I want to give out. I'm exhausted. I can't take another step. And he says, no, I got to keep on running. It's a difficult race. Your spiritual race is difficult. So first of all, the course. Secondly, the challenge. And third, the calling. The calling is that you need to keep on persevering through the difficulties. Persevering and enduring. Run with patience. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. You may have seen people in your experience. They've made a profession of faith. They've said, okay, I'm going to start walking God's path. I'm going to start doing what He says. And man, they get off to a sprint. They're going really fast for God. They're pursuing Him. And then suddenly some difficulty hits. Suddenly there's some sin in their life. They say, oh, I'd kind of like to pursue that again. Oh, does that mean I have to leave? Never mind. Soon they're slowing to a crawl. Soon they're barely walking at all. Soon they're laying down on that track, exhausted. You may remember the story my father used to tell of going to the Olympics, and there was this man who was so confident he was going to break the world record in this long distance match, and he came out running, sprinting in the Olympics. He was in the Olympics. All the world was watching, and my father was there watching him. He was just sprinting around that track, and he was lapping people. He was just going like crazy. And everyone was just sitting there, is this going to last? Well, sure enough, he got exhausted. He got so tired. And he said, just people started lapping him again, till he was the last person on that whole racetrack, stumbling along. No, our goal, our duty, our calling is to endure. It's to persevere. It's to keep on going. So first of all, we see the race. Friends, your life, your Christian life is a race. My Christian life is a race. And it's filled with appalling difficulty. It's filled with challenge. We can't get away from it. That's the truth. That's what it requires. Secondly, let's understand a removing. A removing. If our life is a race, what does that suggest about how we should approach it, about how we should treat it, about what we should do when we're running in it? Well, first of all, what's identified here is a slowing. A slowing. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, that Greek word weight has the image of something that's hanging down, bearing its full force. So, you know, in one of those old balances that they would use to weigh things, you'd have something hanging down on this side, and you'd put the weight in there, and it would weigh down like that. It's a weight. It's something that is heavy. It's something that is hanging onto us. Now, if you have ever known a marathon runner, if you've ever known a person who was a bicyclist, they were a serious competitive bicyclist, you knew that they really cared about weight. How much do I weigh right now? Is that too heavy for me to be running as fast as I can? Is that too heavy for me to be biking as fast as I can? Is that too much for me? Do I have excess pounds on me that are holding me back, that are slowing me down in this race? This race is going to be difficult enough. I don't need these things to be weighing, to be holding me back, to be slowing me down. Do you know it's the same mentality the author of Hebrews is holding out for our Christian life? This is a race, friends. There's a race that is put before you. Is there anything holding you back? Is there anything slowing you down in pursuing God and in pursuing the path that He has for you, in running with endurance, in running with perseverance? I need a volunteer this morning for something, for a little object lesson. I need someone who's really fast. Justin, are you pretty fast? Why don't you come up here quick? Justin, you come up here. We're going to demonstrate something what this might look like in our spiritual life. Now, you're pretty fast, huh? Have you ever won any races?
15 in a row.
15 in a row. Wow. We got the right person today here. Wow. 15 in a row. Okay. Well, now I'm just going to pull out some things here. And we're going to see if you... All right, so I've got some new shoes for you to wear, okay? So take off your shoes quick. We're gonna see how much your race, okay? You wanna put these on quick? Can you put these on for me? All right, thank you. All right, let's put that on. Now, how fast are you feeling, Justin? You still feeling pretty fast? All right, so you look a little bit cold right now, so why don't we just try, here, put this on, okay? No, you can leave that jacket on. Yeah, that's fine. That'll be totally fine. So put this on. Here you go. Now let's make sure we got this on. Okay, so now how fast are you feeling, Justin? You think you can win a race? Now, this guy's won 15 races in a row, okay? He has 15 races in a row. Now, if I had him outside and said, run a 50-yard dash, how do we think this guy would do in this one? Do you think his streak would be snapped? Yes. Why? Because he's got a lot of extra weight on him. He's got a lot. He's got a coat on. He's got these big boots on that are too big for him. He'd probably trip and fall flat on his face. And that would be, we would expect that kind of thing. Thank you, Justin. You can take those boots off and go back to your seat now. I bet you'll be pretty excited to get out of those things. All right. So, that's what it looks like in our spiritual lives. How many of us have those excess weight, just like Justin had those huge boots on, that big coat on? Now, Justin could show up to the race and say, there's no rules against me having boots on, are there? Is there any rule that I can't wear boots? Is there any rule that I can't put on a big trench coat and run in the race? Well, no, I guess not. I guess you can if you want to. But we'd all look at him and say, what are you doing? You're slow. You're not going to be able to win in that race. And so it is for us, I think, sometimes as Christians. We have all these weights that are around us. We have all these things that are slowing us down, distracting us from God, distracting us from what He wants us to do, tripping us up and making us fall. And we say, well, is this a sin? Show me a rule where that's wrong. Are you sure that's prohibited? And then someone would say, well, brother, look at how slow you're running. Look, you're barely moving forward at all. The race is before you. The finish line is ahead. And you're clomping along. Now, what can those kind of weights be? We could identify all kinds of those weights that may not necessarily be sinful in every single case, but when they're put together, they're a great weight. I'll just give you an example in my life. I love sports. I love watching sports. I love playing sports. I love just about any kind of sports. I have since I was a kid. We already have a little bit of trouble. Pretty much the only word that Lars says right now is ball. So I think something's been passed down genetically to him in that regard. But you know what? I've seen this thing that I've loved. I've seen this thing that I've participated in and done in all kinds of ways. And I look back in my life and I say, I don't know if I've had a greater weight to my Christian life than sports. Is sports a sin? Is participating in sports wrong? Is watching sports wrong? No, I don't think so. But it was even interesting yesterday. The Minnesota football team had a great victory. They beat Nebraska for the first time in Nebraska since 1960. And it was funny, after that, my mind was still engaged so much with that. I was so excited. And it was like the Lord was saying, you want to see what a picture of a weight is? Something that may be holding you back, distracting you from pursuing me with everything you have. Now, what is it for you? What is it for you? What kind of weights are holding you back, distracting your mind? What kind of things, when you go to God and pray, your mind is thinking about this? You go to read your Bible, and your mind is off over here, pursuing that, pursuing this. God says, get up and read the Bible. You say, oh, I got to get up and do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other. They're distractions, slowing us down, holding us back. One of the great examples I had, I remember of an athlete. I roomed in college with James Dickey. If you don't know James, he's a decent golfer. He played professional golf for a year. He played on the Duke golf team. And it was amazing with him. If you ever want to go to the range with him and you want to see someone who obsesses about their golf swing, you just go and look no further than James Dickey. He's going to be there and he's going to know, oh, that didn't feel right. That felt wrong. No, something was wrong there. There was just a little bit of a twitch there that wasn't right. What do golfers do? They look at their swing on video. They break down every single little path. Was that path right? Was that correctly? Was my hip turn right? What are they doing? They're on a contest and they're saying, I'm trying to get rid of any excess movement. I'm trying to get rid of anything that would hold me back. Do you know that's the same mentality we should have in our Christian lives? Lord, what's holding me back? Is there anything? Let's go back to the videotape. Lord, today, what held me back from pursuing you more? Lord, what was the weight that made me just a little bit slower today in loving you? Lord, what was that my technique was just a little off, so to speak, keeping in the athletic mindset? What is that which is holding me back? This is what the author of Hebrews says, laying aside every weight. So not only is there a slowing, secondly, there is a snaring. A snaring. You see, what the author of Hebrews says is not only laying aside every weight, what comes next? And the sin which so easily besets us. I love this picture. The picture in the Greek of this word is it's sin that is surrounding us. Sin that is everywhere around us, that is cloaking us, that is covering us. Do you remember what I put on Justin there? I didn't just put the boots. I put a big old trench coat, a big old dress coat on him. Can you imagine if you were out running in that with that big dress coat on? Your knees would get tangled, your legs, your feet would get tangled. You'd fall flat on your face. What a wonderful picture that is of what sin does in our Christian race. Oh, we're running forward for God. We're sprinting down the path for Him. We're running for Him. And suddenly, that lust pops up that we've been struggling against, and suddenly we're flat on our face with a skinned knee. Suddenly that pride comes up. Suddenly that selfishness comes up, that self-centeredness, that anger comes up, that bitterness comes up. And suddenly we've tripped, we've fallen. Now, we can get back up, praise God. Praise God that when we fall in our Christian life, it's not the end of our race. We can get up and keep on moving. But can you imagine any racer who says, man, these shoes are just tripping me up all the time, but I'm going to keep on using them? No. Let me get some new shoes. I got a race to run, man. I got to get rid of these. It's the same thing for us. Not only we get rid of weights, but we also get rid of sins, those sins that we see always popping up. Now, some Christians would want to say, oh no, I'm strong. Sin doesn't really affect me that much. Sin doesn't hold me back that much. You know what? I can keep on moving forward with this sin, thank you very much. I can keep on going just fine. But that's not what Scripture says. I love what Scripture says. The sin which so easily besets us. It so easily trips us up. It so easily sends us falling to the ground. It so easily impedes our path. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have towards sin. Lord, is there any dress code on me that's tripping me up right now? Is there any sin that's surrounding me that's making me stumble and fall? Oh, that we'd have that kind of attitude toward the existence of sin in our life and toward the existence of any weight that would slow us down. So first of all, we see the slowing. Secondly, we see the snaring. And third, we see a setting aside. A setting aside. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, let us lay aside. That means just like Justin had that dress code, he says, I don't want this anymore. Throw that off. Let me get these boots off. Let me throw those to the side. Those are holding me back. Those are keeping me down. Those are making me trip, and they're distracting my progress. They're impeding my progress in my Christian life. That's the same thing for each and every single one of us. Oh, that we'd have the motivation and the love for God, the love for the path that we're on, to throw aside the weights. Oh, that we'd have the endurance to say, you know what? I really like this weight. I really like this sin. Those boots are comfortable, man. They really help me when I'm walking around. But we say, wait a second. That's holding me back. That's slowing me down. I don't care how comfortable it is. I don't care how much I like that sin. I don't care how much I like involving myself in this. It's slowing me down. I got to get rid of it. It's impeding my progress. Oh, that each one of us, and myself in particular, this message was a real conviction to me this week in saying, Peter, what's holding you back? What's tripping you up? What's making it so that you're not pursuing God with all your heart, only part of your heart? It's time to lay it aside. It's time to let it go, because there's a race to run, because there's a path to keep on moving toward, and you got to get there. I love what Paul says at the end of his life. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You know what a wonderful testimony that is for Paul to say, I've finished it, I've done it. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, actually turn over there, let's take a quick look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, this is what Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. What's he saying here? How many people run in a race? How many of you kids here have ever run in a race? Raise your hand if you've ever run in a race. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many of you were the only person running in the race? Were there other people running in the race with you, or are you running by yourself? There are other people running, right? And so what he says is, just like in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. Only one person gets first place. Only one person comes home with the garland, with the winner, with the ribbon, with the medal. Paul says, so run. Run the same way that there's only going to be one person that's going to win the spiritual race. Can you imagine if you ran your spiritual life like that? You said, Lord, There are hundreds of millions of Christians. I don't know, all the Christians in the world are on the race, and I'm going to run as if only one of them is going to win the prize, and I want it to be me. Can you imagine if your spiritual life was with it? That's what Paul says. So run. Run exactly like that. Run as if you were the only one that was going to get the prize. If we're going to have that mentality, we got to lay aside the weight. We got to lay aside the sin that's holding us back. We got to cast it aside, and we got to fix our eyes straight on Jesus Christ and run for Him. So first of all, here we see the race that's set before us. Secondly, we see the removing. It's our duty to lay aside every weight and everything that's holding us back. Third, let's understand the reason. The reason. Now, some of you maybe have taken on physical weight loss. You said, I got to get on a diet, I got to do this, I got to do that. Maybe it wasn't weight loss, maybe it says, I got to start working out, I got to become more healthy. Maybe you made a New Year's resolution, and you say, oh, I got to do this, I'm going to get up every week. I remember, I would say, okay, I'm going to work out at least 5 days a week, every week this year. I'd make it about 4 days in the first week, and about 2 the next week, and about 1 the week after, and then I'd be done with it, okay? That's sometimes how we see those resolutions working. But Paul here, or the author of Hebrews, says, let me give you a reason why you should lay aside the weight. You know, in our Christian life sometimes, we hear messages that say, do this and don't do this because I say so. That's not how God does it. We say, you don't do this because this is wrong. Shame on you for doing this. Well, Scripture tells us what's right and wrong. There's no doubt about that. But what I love about Scripture is it's filled with therefores and becauses and fors and do this because this and do this for this reason. And so this message this morning, if all you walk out that door is this morning and says, okay, I got to get rid of these weights. I got to get rid of this sin. I'm going to keep on running. My flesh is going to do this. I'm going to run my spiritual race. Guess what? This week you're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to fall flat on your face because your flesh can't be the one to cast off these weights. There's a reason. And there's a reason that's called faith. I love what the author of Hebrews says here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Why did I have Brother Delaney read at the end of Hebrews chapter 11? Because the first word of Hebrews chapter 12 is wherefore, therefore, because. You got to look to what comes before it. And Hebrews 11 is this long chapter that we've called the Hall of Faith. It's the heroes of faith that is laid out. Look at all these people, what they did for God. This person was martyred for God. This person gave up riches for God. This person gave up sin to pursue God. This person trusted in God when it seemed impossible. All those people are listed out in that Hebrews chapter 11. And then when it comes to Hebrews chapter 12, the author says, therefore, you lay aside every weight. Let's talk first of all about the confirmation. The confirmation, the first reason that he gives for us to run the race, that he gives us to lay aside every weight, lay aside all every sin, is because the heroes of faith give great confirmation to the promises and the faithfulness of God. We sang this morning the first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that verse here, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, many people preach this message to say, oh, people are up in heaven. They're looking down at us. They're watching us. They can see what we do. They're cheering us on. Let each one be convinced in his mind. I don't think that's really what it's talking about. I think the meaning of this verse is that wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what do witnesses do? Witnesses testify. Witnesses say, this is true. Witnesses say, I saw this and this is what happened. What do the witnesses in Hebrews 11 tell us? What do the witnesses say to us that trusted God and put it all on the line and laid aside every weight and laid aside the sin that was so easily besetting them and ran toward the finish line? Do you know what they're saying right now? It was worth it. This race was worth it. Oh, I gave everything that I could for the cause of God, and I'm so glad that I did, because God is faithful, because He can be trusted, because He's worthy to receive all that. We can think of those same things ourselves. Think of the people who have come before you, who have now joined that cloud of witnesses. Do you know what a powerful thing it is for me to stand up and preach in this pulpit where so many great men of faith have gone before me preaching? They've stood in this pulpit and they've proclaimed the word of God to the people that were seated here. And to me, as I stand here, I follow in their steps and I look back to their example and I say, there were some great men of faith. They testified that God was faithful. We look back to Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, that weight is hanging on us. That sin is surrounding us. But we say, I like it. I want to hold on to that. And then we look back at them and we say, they gave it up. They threw the weight off. They got rid of that sin no matter how good it felt so that they could pursue it. Can I do the same? They testified to God's faithfulness. I can rely on that. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, when you're struggling with your faith to say, is this something that needs to be set aside? Is this something that needs to be put aside so I can pursue God? Look to those that have come before you and have given everything they had for the service of God and for His kingdom and say, yes, I can. I can move forward. I can toss aside that weight. Secondly, not just a confirmation, let's secondly understand the captain. The captain. This is the second reason that is given for us laying aside every weight. What the author of Hebrews says is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I love that, those two words, author and finisher of faith. That word author means pioneer, the one who goes before. That same Greek word is translated earlier in Hebrews, captain. Now, if you've played on a sports team, you probably know what a captain is. Who's the captain? The captain is the one who is the leader on the team. The coach looks at him and says, okay, you be a leader. You be, when everyone's running wind sprints and they're getting tired, you be the one, keep on going. You show them how to do it. When other people are getting out of stride, you be the one who stay in stride. You're the captain. You're the one that's going before. And what Hebrews chapter 12 says here is, we look unto Jesus, who is the captain of our race. Jesus was the one who went before us. He was the one that, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He's our captain. He's the one that we look to and say, Jesus did it. He's the number one example of faith, and I can follow in His example. And not only that, He's the captain, He's the finisher of faith. That word finisher means perfecter. He is the number one example. He is the perfect example. He is the one that we look to when we're struggling with whether to take on the struggles and challenges and difficulties in our race. We look back to Jesus and we say, Jesus, You did it. You went through it for me. You know, that's why some people say, or some people have the idea, oh, all this stuff about striving for holiness, striving for sanctification. You people don't understand what grace is. Don't you understand that grace means that we're justified by faith? There's no condemnation. We can keep on walking for God now. And what I respond is no. The person who most understands grace is the person who is most striving to honor God in everything that he's doing. The person who looks at what Jesus has done for him and sinks down on his face and says, I can't believe what Jesus did for me. I can't believe the sufferings that he took for me, is the first one to say, this weight I don't need. This sin I don't need on me. If Jesus went through that for me, I can cast this off for him to pursue the prize that he has set before me. Are you looking to the captain today? Are you looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith, to say, I can throw off this weight, I can throw off this sin, because he's gone before me, he's run the race already, and he's finished it, and he's done it for me. First of all, we see the confirmation. We see this great cloud of witnesses, and they inspire us to follow that same race. We don't look to them, we recognize that they're there. And then we look to Jesus and we pursue him. Thirdly, let's see the completion. The completion. What's the third reason for you to lay aside every weight? What's the third reason for you to lay aside the sin that so easily besets you? Friend, one day your race is going to be done. When is your race going to be done? It's going to be done when you reach the finish line. Unless Jesus comes back before this point, someday you are going to be laid in the ground. No. You are going to die. You are going to pass away. And the truth of it is, friends, at that point, your race is done. Your finish line has been reached. There's no more striving. There's no more racing. And friends, at that time, your life will be written, your life story will be written, and you will join that cloud of witnesses. You will join that cloud of witnesses that have gone before and that have run the race of the Christian life. And I'm going to ask you this morning, what is your life going to have witness to? When someone looks back to your life, are they going to see a testimony of faith? Are they going to see a testimony of weights that have been cast off so you can run faster in the Christian life? Are they going to see sin that has been tossed off no matter how much you've loved it, no matter how much it's been a bosom sin to you, you've cast it off because you have a prize to race after? Amen. What kind of witness are you going to be when your life story has been written and closed and the book has ended? Friends, we follow in the steps of all these people listed in Hebrews chapter 11. They were the people that went before us on this race. They were the ones that were willing to follow Christ to the death. Then we look at those who have come more recently. I think back 35 years ago, how grateful for a man who stepped out in faith to start this church that has been a blessing to so many people. And then we look to the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, the one who took on all the challenges, all the difficulties for us. And are we going to be willing to take on some spiritual weight loss? Are we going to be willing to follow in their steps? Oh, I pray today that, friend, if you've never joined the Christian race, you've never entered onto that path because you've never registered with Jesus Christ to enter that race. Today would be this day of salvation. Don't leave this door with a turkey and without Jesus Christ. Don't walk out of this door with some food for your Thanksgiving table but not knowing anything about the bread of life. Today is the day of salvation. And if you're a Christian today, if you are running on the race, but your progress is slow, you're limping along, you're getting tripped up, look to Jesus. Look to the captain. Look to those that have come before you and have run this race and have laid aside every weight because their eyes have been fixed on the prize, eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven, rewards with him because they have persevered here on earth. And may today be the day that we ask God, show me the weights. Show me the sin so that by your grace I can lay them off and I can be ready to run the race with patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that full and free salvation that he offers. Father, we are so undeserving. We are so undeserving that Jesus Christ would come and run the race that he did not have to run, to take on the sin that he did not have to take, to die the death that he did not have to die, so that we could be saved. Oh, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning on this Turkey Sunday who's never entered the Christian race, they've never started down that path, they're still on the Broadway that leads to destruction, to eternity in hell. Oh, Father, may today be the day of salvation. May today be the day that they trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Now, we always pause at the end of every morning service, and we just leave a moment. If there's anyone here who knows that they have not joined that race, they have not entered that race, today can be the day of your salvation, friend. Today can be the day that you trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. We'll leave a moment if anyone would like to slip out from where they are and come kneel at these steps. There's nothing magic about it. But someone can take a Bible and can show you how you can be saved. Is there anyone who would come this morning to trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life? And while we wait, Christian, if you are recognizing that your path is being slowed right now by weights, by sins, would you take it to the Lord? Would you confess it? And by His grace, seek to forsake it. Maybe this morning you don't know of any weights, but would you ask Him this? Spirit of God, would you show me the weights that are holding me back? Would you show me the sin that is so easily besetting me, that I might, by faith, cast it off to pursue you? Let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct as He would have us. Father, may we leave here today a people that has laid aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we may run with patience the race that is set before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.